God is good. He didn't let me down because he told me he was going to give a prophetic word this morning. And he said the people would be rejoicing. And I heard that's what happened, right? I was sorry that I was going to miss it. Father, I just thank you right now. And I just give you all honor and all glory for those who came out tonight. I thank you, Father God, that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is continually falling upon your chosen people. And Father, the winds may be blowing and the enemy may be raging, but you are always in control. And tonight I just want you to instill upon these people that came out to sit in your presence. I want you to instill upon them your true, deep, everlasting love that you have for them, Father. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we need to be vessels of honor that when people look at you, they see Jesus. When the people look at you, they see Jesus when he was in the temple overturning the tables with his whip. That justifies me, right? And when they look at you, you know, they see the Jesus who loves you very deeply and sincerely, and that he never leaves you nor forsakes you. I'm going to talk about being least of all, and that's dying to yourself. But we need to be obedient to every solitary thing that God tells us. I don't care if you understand what he's saying to you. I don't care if you agree with him. If God tells you to do something, you need to do it. Many years ago when I was first born again, I've told this story before, but God talked to me about it during praise and worship. They thought I'd lost my mind because, you know, raising the dead, you know, my family did, and healing the sick and all that. And one day my family, you know, my three girls and my husband were in the kitchen. They were all arguing and carrying on. And God said, daughter, take control of this situation right now. Kick the devil out of your home, because if you don't, the sword will always be in your home. I looked around at my family, my husband and three girls, and I said, they already think I'm nuts, and if I do this, they'll really think so. Well, I didn't obey God. And guess what is still in my home? The sword. There's still disrespect, still fighting, and all that kind of stuff. And what did God tell David? He told David the same thing. If he didn't take control of his home, the sword would never leave his home. Whatever God tells you, there's always a scripture to back it up. So I don't care what it is God's telling you to do, and I don't care what the people around about you might think. You know, you better be obedient to God, because you're going to have to pay the price. All right? And that's what I'm doing. I'm paying a price right now. The sword has not left my home. I'm paying a price because I didn't want to look stupid to my family. And now my family is totally disgracing me to everybody else. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? What are you going through? Is it because you were obedient to what God told, disobedient to what God told you to do? And one thing that God's been dealing with me about is that the body of Christ does not obey him when he speaks. They think they can do what they want to and there won't be any consequences. There's always a consequence to a disobedience with God. Always. So I'm hoping that being least of all, I'm going to be talking about when people look at you, they should see the effects of what Jesus does. And so God just helped me to go ahead and share that with you this evening before I started. I know you look at me and you say, well, you shouldn't be going through this. No, I shouldn't. And I wouldn't if I'd have been obedient. Are you understanding this? Disobedience has a long-term effect. It's just not just that moment. It's a long-term effect. And you can go down roads that you really don't want to go just because you were disobedient, because people wouldn't understand you. Who cares who understands you? I want you to get this tonight. Learn from me. Who cares who understands you? As long as you are obeying the voice of God. And the enemy, he doesn't care how many times he takes you down that rotten road. He was so happy when I was disobedient, because then he knew he had me for a season. So whatever's going on in your life might be because of your disobedience to God and your lack, because your lack of understanding, he's saying. So don't blame God. Just, you're supposed to be walking by total faith. And when God tells you to do something, you just do it by faith, trusting God that he knows all things. He knows everything that's going to go on in your life. He knew I wasn't going to obey him that day, and he knew the consequences were going to be long-lasting. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul speaking, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence. I want you to listen to this, with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. You see that? And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said, I didn't put together a sermon. I just came with the Holy Spirit, knowing that God was going to speak what he wanted to speak. It wasn't me that had any wisdom. And he says, my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. He was saying things that nobody could understand. Why do we think we have to have a piece of paper in front of us? Why don't we just trust God when we go into a service and just trust him? Holy Spirit, take control and say what God wants to say and let God say it. I'm hearing God say, this is where I'm going with my body as of today. You will not need pre-programmed words in front of you. It'll be my Spirit speaking through you as you yield to my Spirit. If Jesus is to be seen through our lives, there first needs to be a doing away with all human abilities. Who was that preacher that he had a church, and he would come and sit on the floor of the pulpit with a box over his head, and he wouldn't move until the Holy Spirit started speaking. Then he'd take this box over his head, and they had glorious services. Sometimes I read it took a half hour for the Holy Spirit, but he sat right there with the box over his head, and everybody knew he was going to sit there until the Spirit spoke. None of us would do that. When I read it, I said, Father, he has a lot of faith. You know, really. But why wouldn't we do that? You know, why not do that? I just want you to get your little brain going here and just start thinking about, God is. Now, see, a lot of I teach is what I do. I really don't preach. And when God wants to say what he always tells me what to do anyhow. But I've had people say, well, I can't do a piece of paper. Then don't do a piece of paper. Don't keep telling us you don't do a piece of paper. Just whatever God, you know, if you just feel comfortable getting up there and just letting God say what he wants to say, then just do it. Quit making excuses why you don't have a piece of paper. And when I evangelized, I always had a piece of paper, but I never used it. I said, God, you know me. I have to have something in front of me, but I never once used it. Brother Allen told me one time that he remembered how I used to always do that, and he loved it when I did that. Didn't use a paper, but just let the Spirit move. But God takes me and he uses me. There's seasons I teach. And right now, God's trying to teach us a few things. Before, did you read the word we put out this morning? Some of you didn't. So you missed out. You just don't know what God said. And I'm not going to tell you either. Okay. If Jesus is to be seen through our lives, there first needs to be a doing away with all human abilities. Do you ever think sometimes when people want a piece of paper, they want everybody to see how great they can talk? Yeah, really? Now, please don't go into condemnation. I've seen that. Haven't you seen that? All right. Have you been thinking of what you're supposed to do with what God has already given you? He's given you the ability to walk with the Holy Spirit. And when you walk with the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be telling the Holy Spirit that he has full rule and reign, and he can say whatever he wants to through you. What I don't have written down here, what I say is totally Holy Spirit. All right. Matthew 13:31 says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, you know, Jesus put the parable forth, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is at least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, this little mustard seed, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now remember that, because that's what this is about. Being the least of all seeds, the mustard seed, which is likened to the kingdom of heaven, is so small that the natural eye can barely see it. The kingdom of God, being like the smallest of seeds, tells us that it is not how much we have that is important, but rather what we do with what we have. You know, you see the mustard fields, and they have them little seeds, and they pick those little seeds, and they take them to a factory and crush them and do whatever they have to, pulverize them, do whatever they have to do to get the mustard that you spread on your sandwich, right? But it started out as a little dinky seed. Matthew 13:23 says, but he who receives seed on the good ground, this is a parable Jesus was talking about, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And when I wrote that scripture down, I thought about my sister. I forgot who I don't know if it was Jehovah's, but she was with somebody like that. And she said to me one day, she said, Barbie, I have 60-fold and you have 100-fold. And that blew my mind because I didn't know they knew that. You know, from everything I've heard. And I watched my sister from that point on, and you know what? She loved God with all of her heart. She knew her word, and she lived the word. And I don't care what title you put on yourself. What do you really believe in is what it all boils down to. And I was surprised when she said, I'm only 60, but you're 100. And she said, you're going to do great exploits for God. Amen. People are watching. I don't care who you are. The seed that God has sown within us is our potential. The seed that God has sown in you is your potential, or that which we are capable of becoming, which is good ground. All that God looks for and needs is our willingness or heart obedience. He wants you to be obedient to what he's asking you to do, and he wants you to be willing to go and do the things he's asked you to do. Did you go on the streets Saturday? See, God's told us we need to be on the streets, and I really believe everybody should go on the streets on Saturdays because you learn a lot on the streets. I loved it when we used to go out all the time like that. You're sitting here in the house of God soaking up all the good stuff, keeping it to yourself, but you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be shedding it abroad, right? The seed, I read that, didn't I? Let's read that again. The seed that God has sown within you is your potential. So what has he told you is in you? You have to remember that. Or that which we are capable of becoming, which is good ground. Quit allowing the enemy to make you believe you're bad ground. You know, all that God looks for and needs is our willingness or heart obedience. And Isaiah 1:19 said, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You know, if you really, truly look at ministries, every ministry has a flaw. Every ministry had a flaw. Jesus' ministry had a flaw, you know, his disciples. His disciples, one of them was going to betray him, or the others were jealous. They thought he was going to sit next to him. His ministry had a flaw in it. And so if you're looking for a perfect ministry, you're never going to find it. Now, I'm not saying that we should have flaws, because we should not. We should be working for perfection. But if we find out we have a flaw, we don't, you know, fall apart over it. We pray about it. And we invite God into the situation and ask him to take care of things, because you don't know how to take care of it, or the flaw wouldn't have been there to begin with. Right? That's true. Take that as true. All right, we need to become medicinal. When the mustard seed is grown, it becomes the greatest among herbs. This herb is medicinal, I can't even say that word, and its value is received only after it is crushed or ground. It's no good as for medicine until it becomes crushed and ground. So why have we been complaining about all the crushing and the grinding that God's been putting us through? We're not any good until he does that. He crushes and grinds all the bad out and brings forth only the good, right? That's the way it's supposed to work. This relates to the good works of Ephesians 2:10. These good works refer to the method or process which the Lord uses to reduce our self-life to zero and produce within us that which he can use for his purposes. How many of you, when you find yourself getting a little bit of big-headed, say, all right, God, I need to go through the crushing process again? You know, if you're bragging about God, what God's doing in a situation, then you need to crush it again. Because you shouldn't be bragging about what God's doing. You should, what's happening to you, you should be saying, and some of you do that, look how good our Father is. It's not, look what I'm doing. Look how good our Father is. Look what he's doing. Look how he's moving. All right? People are watching you, and they're wanting to see if you're prideful or if you're humble. Okay, then I said, and produces within us that which he can use for his purposes, or becoming medicinal means that we have come to the end of all seeking for self-satisfaction and fulfillment. We need to search ourselves. Have we come to the end of seeking for self-satisfaction and fulfillment? Instead, we have submitted ourselves to the will and purposes of the Lord, and we are living for the benefit of others. And I don't like to exalt Barbara, but because, you know, we talk close about what's going on with her life. She has learned. We all know how Barbara was when she first came, right? What did God call you? Appointed what? Yeah. And but look where she's at today. She has become really humble, really submissive, and I've watched God just grind her into the ground. You know, but she stayed the course. And so when people look at you, when I look at Barbara, I say, God, I'm so proud of her. You know, that I'm proud that you brought her in here, and the way she was and how she listened as she was being taught, and how she sometimes fought, kicked her feet. But in the end, she always said, God, your will, your way, because she's a person. She's going to stand her ground, and nobody's going to tell her what to do. That's what she used to be. And so really, if you want to know how a true child of God should be, watch, look at her. Look where she was when she came in, and look where she's at today. Each one of us should be a testimony like that. All right? So I said, and we are living for the benefit of others. You know, I have to laugh sometimes when she's with that one group she's with, and she writes me the email, what goes on, and I think, boy, God, I can just see they're about biting her tongue off. Wasn't so bad to say her flesh. But she's sitting there biting her tongue off. Isn't that the truth? It is not easy for any of us to give up the right to our own life experience, our being able to go and do as we desire. I remember one time I went to a prophet's meeting, and Larry went into one room to get prophesied over, and he came out. He was hot. I said, what's your problem? He said, God told me that I couldn't do what others do because of a calling on my life, and I want to do what others are allowed to do. He fussed about that the whole way home. You know, God was trying to get all the flesh out of him. For this to happen, we must go through severe dealings, just as this herb is ground and boiled to become medicinal. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, if you're his workmanship, then why are you still being seen? Right? Come on. you know, Brother Allen was sharing with me that there was a time in his life where everybody in the church quit talking to him, quit socializing with him. And, you know, and he knew that he was had come to an end, but he wasn't going to give up. He kept fighting, and look where he's at today. You know, he said he was lonely in the church, but he said he just kept going. He said, God, I'm not giving up. And I watched him because God did tell me he was finished. And so I watched. I thought, well, look at that man. He's too dumb to sit down. He just keeps right on a walking, right on a believing. And he said he remembered a promise God gave to him, and he kept that foremost in his mind. And look what God's done to him today. He's a great example of being a strong tower and fighting against all the odds. Right? That's what he gets for being a biker. They learn to be tough, right? I mean, yeah, this is what this service is all about. Dying out to all your flesh, going through everything God put you through to become his man or his child, however you want to put it. All right, so let's read Ephesians 2:10 again. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God had your path all marked out before you ever were born. A lot of people have missed that path by I don't know how many miles, right? But God meant for us to get on that path and stay there. Our being God's workmanship, the product that he is producing, means that we have given the Lord the right and permission to produce within us the ability to release spiritual life into another through anointed impartation. Just as Jesus gave himself for us, we are also to give ourselves for others. Now, let's read this because this is not true in a lot of you people. I said, our being God's workmanship, the product that he is producing, means that we have given the Lord the right and permission to produce within us the ability to release spiritual life into another through anointing impartation. Come on, you fussed all the way. You know, I was looking at that sign during praise and worship. I said, God, that is so true. You said, here I am, Lord, do whatever you want to with me. Then you kicked and screamed and carried on like fools. One day I said, God, are you sure you have the right person here? You know, I mean, you know, I'm just like you are. Come on. He was making pure vessels out of us. He still is. Matthew 13:32, which indeed is at least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. Talking about the mustard seed again. An herb is a bush. Through divine intervention, this herb has now become a tree. Was it really a tree? Yeah, I meant to look that up, but I forgot. To be changed from an herb to a tree is a mutation, a transformation from one realm of being into a higher realm of spirit life. Only the Lord can do this. Only the Lord can change you. You cannot change yourself. And you can bawl and squall and carry on and try to tell God he doesn't know what he's doing, but only God can do the perfect work. A mutation from one realm into another has never happened in nature. For example, a rock becoming a living tree or a nominal Christian becoming a part of his bride. Now, you know, I read this somewhere, so I wrote it down, but then I was sitting looking at that early this morning. I thought, wait a minute here. In California, trees become rocks. They become petrified, right? So that's a mutation, isn't it? So I just had to bring that out. Because when we lived in California, well, we just thought that was wonderful, go up them hills and get those petrified rock, which was once a tree. So that was a mutation, wasn't it? All right, so we as Christians, we can become a part of his bride. And that is a mutation, because think of yourself and where you were when God found you, you messed up thing. And where you are today, that is truly a mutation. You could not do that for yourself. No way. It took God. all right, from herb to tree. This transformation from our being an herb into being a tree is a result of the good works, the things, the tools that the Lord will use to accomplish his purpose within us. God's tools, his works. You know, sometimes I just think he has a sense of humor and wants to be entertained when he does some of the things he does to us to change us. Really, I do. All right, we simply need to place ourselves in the hands of the Lord and give him permission to do whatever may be necessary to cause us to become that which he desires, which is his bride. We simply, no, we don't do that simply. We say, here I am, Lord. You know, you might give him a finger or two and finally a hand, right? We struggle at doing that. All right, Luke 22:31 said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Big old mouth, Peter. We're just like Peter. Then Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you would deny three times that you know me. Now, one time after I was born again, I was going through a mess. And I said, God, I don't understand this. Oh, I thought I was supposed to be happy, happy, happy. And he gave me this scripture. It says, Simon, Simon, he's Barbara, Barbara. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And he gave him the smallest sifter he could find. Don't you sometimes feel like that? And so God was saying, Satan is sifting you right now. But then look what he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned, so Peter's faith was going to fail. And I don't know if mine did then or not. It was too long ago. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So when you're going through your little sifting process and you fail like Peter did, you know, and denied Christ, just keep on going. Complain to God the sifter was too small, because I did that. You know, you know, ladies who cook, you get all different sizes of sifters. No. To a person who has submitted and committed everything in their lives becomes important, has a purpose for the kingdom of heaven. Once you truly submit yourself and commit yourself to God, everything about you is important to God's kingdom. Everything. I don't care what it is, even the breath you breathe. Everything's important to God. As the value of an herb results from its being ground or pulverized, so also through God's dealings and processes, we are being raised up to rule. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times I sit and think about Job. Sometimes I wish that wouldn't be in the Bible. Because as you read, he says, oh, Lord, you know, when God said you're going through a Job experience and you read what Job went through, and I've been doing that a lot since God said we're going through a Job experience. He went through one terrible trauma after another, and it looked like it was never going to end. But finally, when he got over all of his silliness and started praying for his friends, then God could use him, because he was out of self. Into that self mode, and he was into whatever happens. God, you know, just let's just pray for these other people. Don't let them go through what I'm going through. Right? Therefore, there must be transitional dealings to remove all that relates to our self life. God said, I'm taking you from glory to glory to glory. That's transition. And each time he says glory, he has you in this spot, and he's removing everything from you that is not of him. It's up to you how long you stay in that spot. If you say, all right, God, whatever it is, take it. I don't want it. And give him, and don't hold on to it as it tries to leave you. And as you give that thing to him, it's going to go. It has to go. But too many of us say, I let go. No, you didn't. It's a little tail went by. You grabbed hold of the tail and said, I'll keep this part of you. You've seen that in deliverance. But you have to let go of all things. Okay, so I said, therefore, there must be transitional dealings to remove all that relates to our self-life. Only then can the manifestation of the government of God be seen through us as being a righteous government. You know, God said we were going to rule and reign in the government of heaven. And if we're going to do that, then we have to be righteous, and we have to be allowing God to remove everything out of us. And about time you're through your little sifting stage, here comes another sifting stage. And God doesn't stop until you are purified, I'm hearing him say, and perfected. It will take these good works to transform the herb, us, into this end time witness. And God spoke to me. He said the body of Christ is still not a good witness for him. So we can each take it upon ourselves to say, okay, God, whatever's in me yet that is not a good witness, please take it out, because I really, truly want to get through with this junk. Don't you? This pressing and all the stuff you go through. I want to get through it so we can move on. I think we've been at this place too long. This sifting place. I think we've been here too long, and we need to move on. If we have become this tree, we will be planted by the river of life with direct contact with Jesus. You know, and you read your word, God wants to plant us by the river of life. He wants those living waters to flow through us continually. And I really don't think that we can have those living waters if we still have junk with inside of us. One day I said, God, all right, I'm by the living waters. Drown that junk. You know, destroy it, you know. Get it out of me. We will have all manner of fruit for the healing of the nations. And if you read that, that's what it talks about. And there will be within us a stability and strength that others can lean upon and trust. You know, they'll watch you go through all kind of junk, and they'll see you still stand. They're going to want that. You know, when I became born again, my girlfriend, who was a mess, but she was a beautiful person, I wanted what she found. So she took me to full gospel, and I got born again. And then I received what she had. But other than that, I don't think I'd ever become born again. I might have, but because of her and seeing such a transition in her life, an overnight transition, because we was going to college together, I wanted that. Because I didn't think she would ever change. You know, but she did, and she still changed today. Here we will receive, when we get this stability and strength that others can lean upon and trust, here we will receive from God, and we will have life, divine substance to impart to others. Some of us don't have any life to impart to anybody else. And, you know, really, if you're in a twit, don't lay your hands on other people, because it's not life in you at that point. And I'm not saying you're bad. Just wait till you're right and then lay hands on people. Because the only thing you want to impart to anybody else is life and not death. They have enough death in them already. All right? Matthew 4:19, then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I did this. I got that scripture because I said, I'm trying to make my people fishers of men, and they're still just sitting. So all this stuff that God has taken you through, it is God. He's trying to cleanse you and purify you so that you can draw others into Christ. When we become this tree, others, which are birds, will come and lodge in the branches of our experience, our personal relationship, and walk with the Lord. You know, when people are watching you, they're going to, when they see it's really good stuff, they're going to want that stuff, and they're going to want to be around you to receive what you have. The spiritually young, the needy, the fearful, all those who need healing, they will come and lodge in the branches of our spiritual life experience because they sense that we have something to give. Are you hearing that? Has anybody just come up and, you know, out of the blue just wanting to hug you? What they're really saying is, I know you have something in you that I want, that I need. And when they hug you, they go, oh. Because that spirit in you that they were wanting was pulled out of you by their faith into them, and they received. Don't be afraid to hug somebody. because they're wanting what you have. And their faith will pull it out of you. All right, let's not get dippy about this and just be hugging people because you're perverted. We're talking about spiritual things here, okay? How many of you, God's told you, go hug somebody? How many, you know what I'm saying? I'll say, go hug that person. God said, that person needs it. Well, I'll just say Barbara, because one time I used it. That person needs the love that Barbara has in her. That person needs that love poured into them. So he'll tell me, go ahead, Barbara, you'll hug that person. Or I have one of you men hug a man, because that man is feels so separated and so down and so out. And whenever you hug them with the strength of Christ, and that goes in them, and that helps him go another day. Are you understanding this? Don't be selfish with what God gives you. And that sometimes when I walk by people, when I walk down to come down here, God will say, rub their shoulder. And I do, and they make a noise. And I know that they needed imparted in them whatever it was that was in me at that given time. Somebody needs to rub Brian so he didn't fall out of his chair, all right? At this present time, the Lord has intensified the process of making a people ready. He has been making us ready in this church for quite some time. Will you please wake him up before he falls out of that chair? Thank you. Now, when the herb that we presently are has become a tree of life, God's life being revealed through our lives, we will have become that which your Father desires us to be. When we finally grow up, when we finally become a tool that God can use to minister to others, we've grown up. And all the baggage we're carrying is left behind. And all we are is Jesus. Wow. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Shoot, let's not drown in that statement, all right? But, you know, aren't we saying, I want to be just like Jesus? I'm going out in the streets, and so when I go in the streets, they're not going to see Astrid, they're going to see Jesus. They're not going to hear Astrid, they're going to hear Jesus. But what are we going on the streets for? Are we going out to say, look, those people went on the street? No, that's not why we do that. We go out there so that they can see Jesus in us, and that what they see draws them to Christ. There's an awful lot of the body of Christ going astray right now, because they don't see anything that's desirable in the body of Christ. God just said that. That's why when people come in here, I want them to see Jesus. You know, and when we're praising and worshiping, I want people to really see what true praise and worship is all about. You know, the flagging is absolutely beautiful, but if they don't flag and they just sit there, to me, we're missing something, and that's just how I feel. We're missing something. Why don't they have it in them to get up there and flag? You know, why isn't somebody playing the tambourine? I don't want you to play the tambourine unless you take tambourine lessons, because if you just boom, 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 you break the anointing. That's the truth, and I'm sorry if that hurts somebody's feelings, but you need to know how to play a tambourine. A tambourine is just not something to make noise. A tambourine is to glorify God. Are you understanding this? If we're going to do this, we need to do it right. And if we're not going to do it, then just stop. All right? Don't let her go to sleep either. Am I boring tonight? Everybody wants to go to sleep? If you have to get up and walk, get up and walk, do something, but don't sit there and fall asleep on me. I'm going to throw my bottle of water at you, and I'll anoint you. Okay? All right, now I don't remember. All right, lodging in the branches of our experiences. It has been said that if we have the goods, the substance of God within us, others will find us and come to lodge in the branches of our experience. People, we never advertised this church ever, and people just were drawn here. One night somebody came, and some guy came, and I gave him a prophetic word. He took the tape home, and he said, Mom, you got to listen to this. The anointing's all through this tape. I think there was just that one stranger in us, four of us or something like that, and next thing I know, the church is full. Why? He took that one tape with the anointing on it, and everybody listened to it, and everybody wanted to come to the anointing. Lives were changed. One tape with a prophecy on it. They weren't even concerned about what the prophecy said. It was the anointing coming off of the tape. Do you know there's a lot of people who have sat under the anointing who have walked away from it? I can't understand that. I can't understand once you sit under the anointing how you could stand for nothing. Right? I don't understand how you can go into a dead church where there's no anointing just because somebody says, oh, hi, you came back. We're so glad to see you. That does not give you nothing. I just assume you didn't even recognize me. I just want the Spirit of God to move. Amen. And if you need patted on the back, then you're in the house of God for the wrong reason. You're not in there to serve God. You're in there to be exalted. And I'm sorry, the only person that gets exalted in our church is Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I think, where am I at? Proverbs 8. Let's read Proverbs 8, 17 and verse 21. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. God said, I love those who love me. If you don't love God, if you're just looking to be exalted, then, you know, don't expect too much out of the Father until you get your life turned around and start really doing these things right. This stuff, since it's the very life of our Father imparted into our lives and then through us into the lives of others, what is a substance? To me, this substance is the love of God in us, that when people meet us, that love will emanate from us, and everybody's going to want what you have. All right? We've had too much sin in the house of God. We've had too much of just pretend worship. We need to become real. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When I was going through the Peter sifting experience, God gave me this scripture. This is what helped me, kept me walking, kept me going. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We cannot give what we do not have. And I believe with every fiber of my being, everybody in this church has what we can give out. I really do. To receive, we must spend time in His presence and allow the seed of His eternal purpose to be planted within us. As I listen to a lot of you, and as I watch and I read the words that you write, you have so much embedded deep within you. So much. You have so much to offer anybody. This harvest that God's trying to bring in, each one of you have something that you can give to somebody else. Don't ever think you don't, because you do. I spent a couple days with Adriana. She was helping me do a project. And in her, I saw a woman with strength, substance, and ability, much wisdom. I said, God, she's really, has a lot of wisdom. See, I never saw that in her until I was around her and worked with her and watched her when she didn't know I was watching. Do you know how many people are watching you when you don't know they're watching you? So are you the same all the time? Or are you just a person when other people are around, and then you're somebody different later on? You need to be the same 24/7. You need to have Jesus Christ dwelling richly within inside of you, and you need to be willing at any given second for God to use you, to call upon you. Any given second, He should be able to say to you, get up out of your bed and go down there, and there's somebody at that store that needs to hear the word. You can't be a person, oh, God, let's wait till 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, He wants you to go then. I knew a pastor one time, didn't really walk in the Spirit, but was very, very obedient to God. And he did ask her one time, 3 o'clock in the morning, did you get up and get dressed and go down this certain street? So she did all that, and there wasn't a soul there, not even a tree. But she went back and came back, and God said, I was testing your obedience. God gave her everything. He gave her ground. He gave her a church. You know, and she didn't pay for nothing. Did not walk in the spirit, but was obedient to God. You know, if you really watch what's going on around about you, you'll learn a lot of things about God. Well, if you're not walking in the Spirit, God's not going to do anything for you. That's a lie, because I watched her do give people stuff that was not walking in the Spirit. She eventually walked in the Spirit, but when I first knew her, she didn't. I've seen men do things that most people would say God, no way God would ever use them, but because they were obedient to God and did what God told them to do, eventually they repented, and eventually God blessed them abundantly. Don't worry about what your neighbor has inside of you. What do you have inside of you that you can give to somebody else? If you're a quarreling person, you're always fighting and carrying on, you don't have anything to give to anybody because they already have that. And if you have a marriage and all you're doing is fight with one another, please don't go minister to another married couple because you don't have anything to give them. You don't have the proof that Jesus can do all things. You know, and if you don't have a good marriage, you'll be running around writing marriage articles, because where are you getting these marriage articles from? It's nothing you're learning by your own experience. And whatever we write is supposed to be in us, comes out of us, because we know it's the truth. It might be something you desire, but it's not the truth from you. You understand that? So we need to be very watchful what we're doing, because we are in the stage right now where God is going to use us mightily to influence the people he's going to send through the door. Influence the people that are on your workplace. Influence people on your website, whatever you call that stuff, Facebook or whatever. He's going to use you to pour out what's in you. I've been reading lately where a lot of people are saved because of Facebook? Is that what you call it? Because they read something on a Facebook. And see, I don't do Facebook. I think that's a dumb waste of time, but evidently it's not. It's touching people's lives. So you do whatever God's calling you to do, and I'll do whatever I'm called to do, and we'll all be happy, right? Remember, what we're going to do, what this whole thing about is tonight is dying out to yourself and just letting the things that God has implanted in you, let them grow and come forth. And I don't care how much that, well, when I was evangelizing, when I first started, I didn't know my Bible, didn't know it from tiddly. I read it, but you know, carried it to church and never had everybody else read it for me. But whenever God said, I'm sending you to the churches to minister to ministers, I said, I don't have anything. They've been in ministry for 40 years. What am I going to tell them? He says, you'd be surprised what you have in you that they need to hear. I was totally surprised at the things God said through me, and they stood in awe. Because I was just starting and they'd been there 40 years. So what I'm saying is, you know, you're not the least. I don't care if you just started, just got saved yesterday, born again yesterday. There's still something in you that God can use to minister to somebody else. And God's saying you're not weak and poorly like the enemy tries to make you believe. He's trying to stop you before you ever get started. He said you're rich in abundance with the things in heaven. Let it rip. Barbara, God's saying, just let it go. Just let it go. You know, don't be afraid of what you might hurt somebody's feelings. So, you know, that might get them saved. You don't know how many people I say, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get straightened out. They get mad at me and never talk to me, but I don't care. Because you know what? God's been dealing with me that there's some people I've got to talk to about that. And I really don't want to ruffle the waters. I really don't. And so there was a Chuck Pierce with him, had an article about, you know, if God told you to tell somebody something you don't, their blood's going to be, and I know that. Sorry, God, I got the message. You know, so now I have to do that. They're not going to take it nicely. They're going to talk about me behind my back. But at least I gave them the opportunity to get saved. All right? They can't say when they're sitting in hell that nobody told them they were going there. So, you know, whatever it is, now I'm not saying go around it's about that, but whatever it is, that's in you that God wants to bring out, bring it out. And what God told me one time, he said, daughter, just bring it out and say it. I'll take care of it. He said, you quit trying to take care of it. I'm trying to smooth it over, you know. Don't do that. If God says say it, he's going to take care of it. They needed to hear whatever he tells you that they need to hear. All right? So are you all ready to, like God to let it rip? Tell it like it is, you know? You know, I said to Aaron the other day, I said, Aaron, thank you for being Aaron. And he wrote back and said, thank you for allowing me to be Aaron. And I said, thought about, you know, I think about these little things, you know. And I said, God, exactly what does that mean? He said, Aaron is 36 years old, and you're letting him make his own decisions. And all his life, everybody else has tried to make his decisions for him. But you're allowing him to be a man, and he's been held in bondage because of that. See how we do. I let my kids make their own decision to make it wrong. I'll say, now, why did you do that? But still, you know, I don't think you should hold your children back. I don't think you should hold your husband or wife back either, or your friends. They know what God's doing inside of them. Let them grow. They're going to make mistakes. I know you never made any mistakes growing, did you? No. You know, they're going to make mistakes. But I'm hearing God says, but you have to be there to cover them in prayer. All right. And God doesn't want, he's saying he doesn't want to hear any of you ever say again, I don't understand where they're coming from. No, you don't, because you're not them. And God's not talking to you, he's talking to them. And so what he wants you to do, just let them be. If you think they're wrong, cover them in prayer. God is well able to take care of them. And see, you want to take care of them. You think you're God, but God told me one time, you're not the Holy Spirit, you're definitely not me. If we can't change it, what makes you think you can do it? I said, oh, all right. You know, how many of you, you're always trying to change somebody? What you need to do is just give them to God. All you do is make them madder. That's all you do. Just give them to God and move on. That's the hardest thing you can do, is let go of your controlling spirit. Little Jezebel, right? Come on. All right, so Alyssa, you and Holly, instead of you trying to tell people about Jesus, why don't you show them Jesus? Well, you know, our friends don't want to hear about Jesus. Well, don't talk, just do. Just be like Jesus. They would say to me, you want to go have a smoke? I said, no, I don't smoke. You don't know what you're missing. I said, I still don't smoke. You want to drink? No, I don't want to drink. You want to go out behind the building in the bushes? No, I don't want to go behind the building in the bushes. Then they wanted to take you drive out to the woods, didn't they? No, I don't care to take a drive to the woods, thank you. I didn't miss a thing. And now I'm preaching God's word. She did all that. Are you really understanding what God's trying to teach you here tonight? Be you. Be who God has called you to be, and let God have all your flesh, and just enjoy God. He told me a night, he said, he put the song service together. I said, what's all jumpies? I want them to jump. They need to jump the junk out of them. You know? He said, I want them to learn to live. And you and I both can say, well anybody older, you and I. Okay. When we went to church, you sat there and was real quiet and sang hymn number 10, right? And went home, it was no better than when you came. Didn't learn a thing, except you didn't like hymn number 11. The God's not there anymore, church. God told us years ago church was going to be different. I love our little church. I really do. I love the way y'all act a little silly and stupid at times, you know. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. It's better than sitting there like you have starch in your shirt, you know, stiff-necked and all that kind of stuff. That's why I used to try to make you be. Until God said, I do laugh, and you let my people laugh. So I'm telling you, God does laugh, and he wants you to laugh and enjoy life. But you can't enjoy life if you're all tangled up in your own flesh. The devil will rip you apart. That's all I have for you tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned that God wants to use you as vessels of honor. He wants to use you, you know, Aaron, whenever you're putting the mail in the mailbox, somebody's looking out the window watching you whistle as you work. oh God, here's somebody's package, you know. But you're very gently putting it in the box and singing your song. You don't do that, but you will, right? You don't know who's looking out the window, do you? Hi, Jesus. Our male people love us. Because everybody's running after, hi, how are you today? You know, or you know, we always do something. Somebody, there's about 10 of us out there, you know. And everybody's always out there getting mail, doing something. And they just love, they say, we love to come here. Just because of different things we do to them. To make their day. Yeah. But then when I throw my mail in a water tin in my lane, I don't think that's funny. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you. We praise you right now. We give you honor. We give you glory. I thank you, Father God, that you are showing us tonight that we, Jesus has to shine through us and that we are not perfect, but you are, we are yours and you love us. And we are not looking at our flaws, but we're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our life. And we're going forth this night in power and in strength and fulfill the calling that you have upon our life. And we thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God said, go forth and sow seeds of goodness and grace and become fishers of men and bring the lost and the dying in. You're dismissed. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to do no praying. That's just it.